three. We got into when you moved to Hove, which was I should have put it was May 42, and you were between Hove and Brighton till August 42, and then you went to Farnham camp August 1942, and then on to Chippenham camp.
That's right.
Now, do you remember those? Oh, I think Farnham's near Newbury.
That's right.
Newmarket.
That's right.
And it's Farnham.
And
what was that camp like? Because you started to go into big camps now, aren't
that's
you?
That's right. Yeah, just doing the same thing, training and that, you know, and the way and schemes and so forth. And a lot of them went up to Kirkcudbright.
That's a bit later. I think that was when they were at Bridlington.
Yes,
then. But this time at Farnham and then Chippenham. Do you remember?
Chippenham, that's right.
Is there anything you particularly remember about them camps, or is it just routine?
Chippenham camp was a camp that did a lot of training, and then they decided that they would put us across to the Middle East in the Second Army. And when we got on the go. Got as far as Dumfries. We were in the lorries at that time, and we at the tanks were away in front on trains and so forth. And then when we got to Dumfries, Churchill decided that he would put an infantry division in, and they drew all the tanks back again to Chippenham camp, and we moved back that road.
How did you feel about that? I mean, because, you know, when you read a unit history, it always says the men were very disappointed not to go into action. When you talk to the men, they often don't feel that way. Some of them feel ambivalent because they actually feel they're safer in England. How did you feel about the prospect of going to North Africa?
Just took it for granted, you know. Well, that's it to me. Just have to.
Did you want to go and fight?
Didn't want to go, but you had to go.
So, if you were asked, you would go willingly.
That's right.
But you'd rather not go. If you'd rather not be asked.
That's right.
Would that fit your? It's how you feel.
That's how I felt.
And anything else about Chippenham? They had Crusaders there.
That's right, Crusaders.
What did you think of the Crusader?
I never seen much of the Crusaders.
I don't think you had them long, you know.
No, they weren't there long.
And then from Chippenham, we went up to Rudston, that's June 43, and they were there for a long time, to March 44. Uh-huh. Rudston and Bridlington.
That's right. That was outside Bridlington. Rudston, that's right. And then we moved into Bridlington before we moved out to Brighton.
Now, during that time, you got the Sherman, and this is a bit more important because that's what they actually fought in before
that's
the
right.
comment.
Uh-huh.
What did you, as a regiment, think of the Sherman when you got them?
Well, they had plenty of them. We could put them in that at any time. The Americans were not producing them at that particular time. And as the Germans used to say, there were runs and lighters.
Now, why did they call them that?
I don't know. That was the saying, anyway.
But why Ronson lighters?
They were easy to knock out. I mean, when we landed in Normandy, they took us up to see some of the tanks that was knocked out.
I'll come to that. Yeah. Did you realise when you were in England in Bridlington how easy the Shermans were to knock out then?
Or? I didn't realise. No.
And what did you think of the Sherman? You know, its armour.
It was a speedy tank. But the armour wasn't wouldn't say it was very protective, you know.
And what about the gun?
The 75mm gun. Well, it wasn't too bad, but 17-pounder was the best.
The Firefly one?
That's right, 17-pounder, that's right.
And were they popular tanks for the unit before they started blowing up?
At the time, when they went into action and they were getting knocked out left and right. You lost 115 tanks in one day, you know that? Did anybody tell you that?
So we'll come to that.
Yeah.
So, now, this is where you went on the operations Black Cock and Eagle.
That's right.
Do you remember anything about those, or were they just routine to you?
They were right hungry schemes.
In what way?
They were Yeah, the bear rations. You never got. Actually, I had to send home for some some food at that particular time. And I remember my mother saying, you know, extra rations for to sort of subsidise what you'd got. But that was always part of the training. But,
the other thing was they went up to Kirkcudbright for a firing test. Now, would you go with them, or was that just the tanks that went?
The tanks went there.
So you'd stay behind?
I was staying behind.
Now, waterproofing. Did they waterproof at Bridlington, or did they waterproof at Aldershot? They went to Aldershot in March. What do you remember of that was at Warburg Barracks, Aldershot? They went in March 44. What do you remember of the waterproofing? Would you help with the tanks, or would you just do your truck?
Trucks, we did all the trucks.
How did you go about waterproofing your truck?
Well, we had a mechanic there, Sergeant, and he was instructing us in doing it and that, you know. And this exhaust was put up so that the when it went into the water, it was up that way, and it wasn't getting, you weren't getting the water coming.
So it was extended and up.
That's right. And I could always remember the Padre. He was in a wee utility truck, and it went right in doing this ramping, and all you see was the thing right down to the bottom. You know, it was actually that particular day.
Was that testing or landing?
That was landing.
Oh, we'll come back
to that.
What about the testing? Did you test your truck?
We did, actually. We did a lot of testing down at Bridlington on the lorries and that, going on to landing crafts and that. And actually, it was Alistair Nairn, Major Alistair Spencer Nairn was in charge of that. And the brigade going, you know, down right. You were sitting in front and you were watching the guy's hands. That was right, that was left hand down, right was the right hand down, you know. And it sort of guided you onto the carriers that you wanted
to go. That was to maximise the number of trucks you could get on,
right,
I suppose.
And I can tell you this, it was like going on a cruise that day when we moved to Gosport.
Well, tell me about that, because there's not much. Is there anything else about Aldershot? Or
no, there's nothing much about Aldershot. No.
What about Gosport then? What happened?
Well, we were lying on the sides of the roads waiting to get onto the barges and that. Actually, there were American Eagles, and we got all the best of food we could get. You know, we felt like the Americans, you know, were good. And it was quite good. And then we landed.
What about you loaded up at Gosport, was it?
Gosport, that's right.
And what do you remember next?
Well, we moved out, and it was the next morning. And it was just Carmesan in the water, you know. And I could always remember this guy at Kirkcudbright chapman. He was sitting beside me and he says, this is like going on a cruise, you know.
Were there many ships going? I mean,
quite a few going there.
And what happened at the other end, unloading?
Well, we got off and...
You were telling me, was there trouble getting off?
There was a wee bit of trouble with the smaller vehicles, but the bigger, the tanks and that, they were quite good. Actually, it was a D plus 13 that we got there. And everything was all sort of stabilised, you know, there were...
Now, what about the... did you land onto the beach?
On the beach.
Or did you go into water? I mean, do you see what I mean?
A little bit of water, not too much.
And what about the Padre? What was the problem he had?
Oh, he had a... He's dead now, that guy. But the... Padre Welsh, I guess it was. He had a wee bit of trouble getting off of this... It was a forcing utility. It was a wee...
And then what? They moved inland, I presume.
That's right. I can always remember one of your commanders. This is a laugh. I shouldn't be saying this to you. I'll see that.
You're all right.
It was a major leap. And taking the man up, and apparently he had left his revolver someplace, and he couldn't remember where it was. And I've actually, he got it. It was in the tank. He left it in the tank. You know. But, and the guy was with me, a chap called Teddy O'Neill, he came from Manchester. And I'm looking around to see if I could fit him. And I said, where's Teddy going to, you know? And I'm driving up this particular cellage, you know, to get onto the flat ground. And I heard the crash, and he was lying on the top of the or the roof of the capot on the vehicle, you know.
What was he doing up there?
He was fast asleep. And it was slow moving off, like, and he had went up there for a lie down. Eventually, we got on and moved up to a place called, was it Cully or Cully?
Cully.
Cully.
Now, they were there from about 17th of June to the 26th of June.
That's right.
Now, were you with the tanks, or were you in another field?
We were with the lorries, and actually I had a Ford truck at that particular time.
And what was your truck doing? Was it an ammunition truck or a fuel?
Ammunition truck. It carried 75 millimetres and 17 pounders.
And what about machine gun?
Well, no.
You didn't carry the belt?
It was all the big stuff of the tank.
And so it would have HE and armour piercing shells?
That's right.
For the 75 millimetre and the...
you're talking about the machine guns with Beza. These are machine guns.
Browning, I think.
Browning, aye, that's right.
But you didn't have that. That
no,
was
we didn't
kept.
Have that.
So you 17 pounder. I mean, and both of.
75 millimeters.
And what about the honey? They had some honey.
We didn't have any.
You didn't have them. So you carry. How was it carried in the back of your truck?
Oh, they were in boxes.
How many shells to a box?
I'd say four in a box.
And just wooden boxes?
Wooden boxes, and I tell you, if it got hit, that was it. You had it. And there was quite a few was hit, you know, especially on that hill 112.
We'll come back. Did that make you nervous?
It made you a wee bit scary, you know.
Now, at Cully, there was nothing much happening for the first bit. Just have a look at sort of what life was like, almost. Would you dig in next to your truck?
No, we were camouflaged now, you know.
What was the camouflage arrangement?
Quite good.
What was it?
You know, these nettings, you know, the sort of green camouflage stuff around them, and you put them over the top of the vehicle.
Right over the top.
Into the edge of the fields and that, you know, away from the run. You didn't pack them in the middle of all around the edges.
And where were the tanks? Were they nearby?
The tanks were they were in another section altogether.
Near Cully, though?
Near Cully, aye.
But not with you?
Not with
just
us.
Just a couple of fields away.
That's right, yeah.
And what about, so you didn't dig in at all?
Well, sometimes we had to dig in.
I mean at Cully, really.
No, really, no.
And what about bivouacs? Did you have them? Because the tank people had things
that's
that...
Right, that's right, just at the back of your lorry, I don't think. And then we had the rations.
Now there, what rations did you get at Cully?
Or what do you call it? I think described it was a sort of thin thing, you know.
Was that compo?
Compo, that's it, alright. Small compo. It wasn't like the Americans. They had all the rest of food that they left.
So what was the British compo like?
It was quite good, you know.
But what was it? Was it a box full of...
A box with, what do you call it, McConaughey's and corned beef and... plumbed off. Different things.
And was it for one person or for more than one person?
Actually, it was for a tank. I meant for a tank. They sort of spread the one, the vehicle ones, they spread it between the two of us, you know.
And what did you like, compo?
Well, you had to make it. There were no options.
What about hot food? Did you get any hot food while you were there?
Well, the only hot food you got was when you were in the, what you call a leader.
I'll come back to Lowe. But you didn't have a hot food at Cully then?
We did once, I think, once or twice.
So the cooks would be about.
That's right.
What about latrines? Did they dig proper latrines at Cully?
Oh, no, just you just had to go and dig a hole and do your necessary.
So you didn't combine together and dig a big latrine with a. But
sometimes I would have a team.
You don't remember it too well.
No.
What about the in the locality? There were supposed to be some Sherman tanks that you visited at Cully. Do you remember that? Knocked out Sherman tanks.
Right. We went up to see them. They took us up.
Now, why did they do that?
I don't know. I tried to sort of acclimatise to what was going to happen, you know.
And what do you remember of...
I remember the turrets being there for them and the crosses right around the route.
The
crosses.
Where the men had been buried. How did that affect morale, or your morale, when you saw it?
Oh, it wasn't very nice, you know. I let myself in for. Couldn't do nothing about it.
And anything else? Did you visit the local villages, French villages?
There was one or two steeples where the German snipers, you know, causing a lot of entrance to some of the infantry, you know. But apparently they got them out with the battleships out in the
Long range fire, naval fire. Now, what about air attacks or any German artillery or mortar fire?
We did have one air attack, and I know I can always remember this farmer. He always had this cow in the middle of the field, you know. Dawned on me, I said, that's a marker for somebody. They were following the place, and actually those two big planes came across. They must have spotted where she was milking the cow, you know. But that was all I can remember there. And then from there, we moved up to the tanks had moved up into action. You know,
that was the attack on Sher.
That's right.
Which at 26th of June, I think, or 27th. I'm not quite sure. 26th of June, yeah. Now, that's the start of Operation Epsom, isn't it? Now, they went up, the tanks went up, and a tremendous amount of fighting for 5 or 6 days.
Yes.
Culminated on Hill 112, or Point 112, whatever you... Now, what happened to you when the tanks went forward? What was your job as C Squadron A1 Echelon?
Well, all the things we did was at night time, we had to go up at night and supply the ammunition to the tanks.
So you didn't see any of the fighting? I mean, you were behind the line, and your job was to come up afterwards.
Come up at night time and supply them with ammunition and petrol.
Now, how did you go about that? Where would you meet them?
They'd meet them at a certain, what you call it, map meeting, and the tanks were just like the Red Indians, you know, they were in a circle like that, and you went into the middle, and you went round all the different tanks, and supplied them with the, what tank it was, a 17-pounder or 25mm, and then they got thing with it, with petrol, these jelly cans, you know.
So you'd drive in and you'd go to your C Squadron tanks. You wouldn't go to anybody else's.
C Squadron tanks.
You'd do your own tanks.
Your own thing, that.
So you'd go up to them, and what would you do? Drive up to a tank?
Up to a tank, and the lads would be waiting for the petrol to, you know, to put into the...
That wouldn't be you, though, the petrol?
No.
So that
ammunition.
Yeah, so they'd be getting the petrol, but then what would you do with the ammunition?
Well, I would... The guys would come down and get their shells out of the boxes and put them into the tank.
So they'd do it themselves? So you just drove it in near the tank and said, help yourselves?
That's what happened.
And what about, did you have a co-driver?
Yeah, Yes, I was a co-driver, yes, just in case he got knocked out.
Do you remember his name?
I just kind of got a few of them.
And what was their job? Because it didn't sound like they had much to do other than take over if you got
They would take over from you if you got knocked out.
Would they help at the back unloading?
Sometimes they did.
So you'd go to the first tank, do that, then go to the second.
That's right.
And would you always just do your own, or would you, if there was a rush job, do, say, some A squadron tanks?
No, the A squadron and the C squadron, they were all separate. And separate.
So they'd have their own lager?
That's right, yeah.
And so when you'd finished, you'd go away. Now, who brought the machine gun ammunition up? That's puzzling me, that is.
Well, I just didn't realise what the ammunition, the machine guns.
You're not sure about that?
I'm not sure about that.
Is it possible you had boxes of machine guns?
I don't know. There were no machine guns on the ammunition on the truck.
That's fair enough. That's fair enough. Now, so you'd go in and then they'd load it into the tank, into the turret and the thing.
Right.
And then what would you do when you'd finish all your tanks?
Well, we waited till the morning.
Oh, so you stayed with them overnight?
Stayed with them all night.
Now, would you dig in then at the lager?
We're dug in, that's right.
How would you dig in?
Well, just alongside the tanks, just in case you got,
How deep would you go?
Oh, 2 feet or 3 feet.
Just a slit?
A slit tank, so
and how wide?
Oh, 3 feet wide.
So, a bit wider than you?
Wider, that's right.
And then you just lie in the bottom?
Lie in the bottom,
with your bed in?
That's right. If you felt that way sometimes,
You didn't ever sleep in the truck?
No, I didn't sleep in the truck, just in case you got hit,
And so, but you were close to the truck, so if the truck got hit, you'd have had it anyway.
That's right.
When you'd been there, would you have much ammunition left on after you'd...
Sometimes, you would, there's some left,
So it would depend how much they'd fired as to how much you had.
That's right. Depends on what they fired that day.
And so next morning, what would you do?
And that particular time that we did that, there was a Cook's lorry came up.
A what lorry?
A Cook's lorry, and made them a hot meal. You didn't see what you were eating because they put potatoes in, and then they put stew, and then sometimes you got... pudding on the top of that, it was really funny at times, But they were lucky to get that,
So, you woke up in the morning?
Woke up in the morning and were dispersed. The tanks went out the road. That's right. And sometimes you had to be very careful because sometimes the aircraft were going to be able to inspect them,
German aircraft?
German aircraft, that's right.
So, what would you do then?
Well, you said the
your lorry would be empty, I presume. You'd have to go and get some ammunition. What I'm wondering. Where would you go to?
You mean protect yourself from the Germans?
No. I mean, you've given all your ammunition to them overnight, and then next morning they go off. You're going to meet them that night.
We went back to AS Hall.
Now, where would they be? Another rendezvous.
Another rendezvous. Yeah.
Now, how would these... Did you have a radio on board?
Well, they had that Harry Melville and that. They had all the wireless equipment so that they knew where the different comms were.
So he would arrange the rendezvous?
That's right.
Of A1, which was you, and A.
A.
Now,
right.
So would it be right that the A1 echelons of C squadron, A squadron, B and the rest of it would travel together under Harry Melville?
No, not exactly. No, they had the, what you call it, two sergeant majors, it was with them. But Harry was there, he was the head of the lot,
But he wouldn't travel with you. How would he get through to you? How would you know where to go?
Well, that was all done by radio,
But you didn't have a radio?
No, we didn't have a radio.
How did you know? That's what I'm meaning.
Sergeant Major in front of us here, a jeep. He had a radio on his jeep.
Would that be the troop sergeant, maybe, or the quartermaster?
It was the sergeant major of the squadron, C squadron.
And he'd tell you
he'd
where
tell
to go?
Where
and
going.
Who'd tell him? Melville?
Who would tell Melville?
No, who would tell the Sergeant Major? Would that be Melville would tell him?
That's right, no.
And so you'd then go to the rendezvous with A Echelon.
That's right.
Now, what would happen there?
Well, you'd stay there until the end of the next day. And see what
and where would you get the ammunition from?
Well, you get the what do you call it?
A Echelon went back.
That's right. A Echelon, that's right.
Yeah.
And they've got the munitions from the Royal Army Service Corps depots.
Would that not be B Echelon that did that, and A went back to B?
Could be B Echelon later.
But you're not... It's all right. Would you take over their lorries, or would you transship?
No, you get your same lorries all the time.
So how did you get the ammunition from one lorry to... when you rendezvoused with A or B or whatever it was, would you just go back to back and...
That's right, and replenish your vehicle.
So you just...
Yeah, that's right.
And who would do that?
Well, we had to do it, sir.
You and your assistant. So that's where they'd come in a bit.
That was work.
Now, so that's what you did. And when we're going into this Epsom thing, they were fighting, and you would go up, meet them that evening.
That's right.
And then replenish them. What about the casualties? How did you feel? I mean, C Squadron lost 7 tanks on the first day at Operation Epsom. How did you feel about that? People you knew.
A wee bit demoralised, saying, that's Dublin Morgan away, and such and such away, and Donnybrook's Park, and Sargent Hutton. They were in tanks, and they got knocked out. So. Bullets with their head by snipers and so forth. And the reason they got that some days is their head was out of the turret.
The commander of the tank.
That's what they always emphasised, that they kept their head down in the turret.
But they wouldn't be able to see so well then.
They wouldn't know. They had
periscope.
Periscope.
So it depressed you, the casualties?
I did.
Were they replaced straight away?
Yes, well, the chaps came up from different regiments. No regiments, but the... What can I say?
Reinforcement squadrons.
Reinforcements, yeah. And they were the... And some of the guys that came up just... Fresh lads out from the training regiments, from Perfect and all these different places.
With no experience?
No experience at all, but, you felt sorry for them, getting shoved into tanks and that. And
now, the next thing on, is that a couple of days they tried to get to Sher, but then they switched, crossed the Odon, and went up to this hill 112.
Yeah.
Now, did you follow them up there?
Once or twice I was up, but I didn't go up much through the day, but there was one guy that he was always volunteering for to go up, a chap called Johnny Adamson. And he got blown up on one of the trucks. How that it was done I don't know, but he was blown and he got killed there. That was in Hill 112.
Presumably hit by a mortar or
And
what were you doing? You'd go up at night, but you didn't volunteer to go up in the day?
Oh, yeah, sometimes you'd have to go up through the day.
Was that when they were getting short?
That's right.
But you didn't have to then?
No.
So you went up at night and point one. And what was the journey up there like?
You didn't get much sleep or nothing. No, you were on the go all the time. As I say, in that book there, it tells you that you only had one night's sleep, and on the week, that you were down all the time.
And that was right for you?
Right for that.